I'm grateful for the praise team today, aren't you? Amen. Today we are in Zechariah chapter 4. When was the last time you spent any time in Zechariah? That's why we're in it today. Zechariah 4, we'll start in verse 1 in a little bit. Let's bow our heads and pray. Good morning, Lord. We are so overwhelmed and grateful for the chance to be together, whether we are here presently in person in this room or we are here presently online. Either way, you have drawn us together by your Spirit. Teach us your word today. Help us to understand that where we are in the world and what we have to do as human beings in this world could benefit very, very much from your words to us through Zechariah. Teach us what you want us to know today, Lord. Put all the other incidental and unimportant things out of the way for now, and we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. In April of 2008, just a few months before Jack was born, the Western Oregon women's softball team played softball against the Central Washington University in Ellensburg, Washington. During the course of the game, Western Oregon senior Sarah Tokalski hit the first home run of her career. She dropped her bat, she started her home run trot, but in the midst of her excitement, first home run and all, she forgot to touch first base. Her coach called out to her to go back and touch first, so she stopped and turned around. And to everyone's horror, when she stopped to go back, her knee buckled and she dropped to the ground. She crawled back to first base and was unable to move to get around the bases. The umpires told the coaches that if her teammates touched her, she'd be called out. And if they called in a pinch runner, the home run would only count as a single. This girl was literally stuck at first. You can imagine everyone's surprise when Mallory Holtman, the opposing team's first baseman and career home run leader for Central Washington, turned to the umpire and said, "Would it be okay if we carried her around the bases so she could touch each bag?" The umpires gave their approval, and Holtman and her teammate, Liz Wallace, picked up the fallen base runner and carried her around the bases. The crowd roared, and Western Oregon went on to win the game and eliminated Central Washington from the playoffs. Sarah Tokalski, that injured home run hitter, was living beyond her means that day. She could never have made it around the bases without help from the outside. And we all need some outside help, wouldn't you say? Now keep that in mind as we travel back in time almost 3,000 years. The country of Judah, where Jerusalem is located, is the southern kingdom of God's people. You might have remembered that God's people split into a northern and southern kingdom at one point. And this southern kingdom, Judah, was defeated by the Babylonians around 586 BC. And its citizens were taken into slavery in Babylon. And then, eventually the Babylonians, who had defeated them, were also defeated themselves by the Persians. And then after a few Persian kings had succeeded one another, some of the Jews were allowed to start going back to Jerusalem. We talked about this a few months ago. And they went back to rebuild parts of the city. In particular, the timeline we're dealing with this morning, they were tasked specifically to rebuild the temple that Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king who destroyed them in the first place, that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed when he destroyed that temple. Now, one of the leaders who led the group of Jews back to the city was named Zerubbabel. Everybody say Zerubbabel. Say it again. I just wanted to make you say that. He eventually became governor of Judea. He was influenced greatly by the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to lead the rebuilding of the temple. Now, there are many difficult obstacles for Zerubbabel as he takes on this task. Enemies are very close. There are very skimpy resources. And the people he is leading are very demoralized. I mean, they've been slaves for many years, after all. And many had forgotten or never knew what it was to be a faithful follower of God. So Zerubbabel needs much more than human help for this task. The book of Zechariah is a series of 8 visions which God gives to Zechariah that contain all manner of things, including God's promise to restore Jerusalem so it thrives once again, the defeat of Jerusalem's enemies, warnings to all who disobey, that God will start a process of moving out the wicked oppressor, and also the vision that we're looking at today, the 5th vision, which shows the rebuilding of the temple and the ways to defeat all of the challenges that are standing before Jerusalem and Zerubbabel. So I'm wondering today, in the midst of what we've been dealing with in the last year or so, have you ever felt like you were in over your head? That you were in a situation that you just could not handle? Whether it's regarding a new job, a financial struggle, a family strife, this whole pandemic thing, or just the overwhelming feeling that you can't dig out of the hole that you're in. We've all been there. I'm sure we've all been there multiple times. And Zerubbabel, everybody say Zerubbabel? I just love that. He was in those situations too. This is one of those times. So as we look at Zechariah 4 today, we see that Zerubbabel was in a situation that required living beyond his means. That is, he could not accomplish this task on his own. He needed outside help. And although the young softball athlete was incredibly thoughtful, Zerubbabel needed much more help than a kind and compassionate college first baseman could provide. So take a look with me at Zechariah 4, verses 1 to 10. Zechariah is speaking. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up, like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lamps on it, with 7 channels to the lamps." What he was seeing there was a really large menorah. "And there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" He answered, "Don't you know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." That is, God is giving Zechariah a word to tell Zerubbabel. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become level ground. Then he'll bring out the capstone." The capstone is the final piece at the top of a building that you build. "He'll bring out the capstone with shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you'll know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the 7 eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel?" One of the prophet Zechariah's main duties was to encourage Zerubbabel in the rebuilding of the temple. It had been very frustrating for God's people. The temple had started to be rebuilt in the book of Ezra, but only the foundation got laid because God's people became self-centered. There was concern about attacking enemies. They got knocked off task. And that unfinished foundation sat there for almost 20 years. Imagine the downer it must have been to walk past a structure that was supposed to represent God's presence in your nation, but it was unfinished, neglected like so many unfinished buildings you've ever seen. Just think a few years back when we all lamented and were in mourning and were wearing sackcloth and sitting on ashes because of the construction at the intersection of 166 and 37. Do you remember how frustrating that was? Do you remember how every time you went out, you had to think to yourself, "How can I avoid this time? Oh, I can't avoid it where I'm going now." And we'd go there and we'd sit and we would cry and we would lament. We would tear our clothes and, "God, why have you forsaken me?" Right? That's still raw. Well, imagine if you had to drive by the temple that was supposed to represent your God's presence for 20 years, and it was just an unkept husk of a building. Trash is blowing through it. People are neglected it. The walls are beginning to stain. Imagine what that could have done to you. So embarrassing. The people of God felt lower and lower every day. There weren't enough resources. There wasn't enough person power. There wasn't enough morale to get the job done. And Zechariah was supposed to encourage Zerubbabel in this task. You see, it would take more than Zerubbabel had to offer. He was a talented guy, right? He had a lot of intellectual capability, leadership ability, social skills, the ability to motivate people. But it would take more than Zerubbabel had to get the temple completed. He would have to live beyond his means. He needed an outside source. So here's a little equation to clarify why the health of our spiritual life is so important, okay? You didn't know you were going to do math today. It's God's plan plus God's person multiplied by God's power equals living beyond your means. To clarify, if God has a plan and provides power for that plan, then the only thing missing is his person. And as we grow spiritually, that's what it is our goal to become, God's person, sensitive to God's spirit and work and willing to be used by God. That's why Jesus says, if we're faithful in a little, that God will make us faithful in a lot. God wants us to be faithful in the everyday things we know about before he lays a big project on us. But we tend to sit around waiting for the big, flashy, dramatic project. And all the while, we may not pray regularly. We may not spend time in God's word. We may not worship regularly. We may not tithe. We may not serve others. We may not be aware of anything else but ourselves in our self-centeredness. And as a result, we don't become God's person. So God doesn't give us that task. Why? Because we're not God's person yet. We're not ready yet. My sisters and brothers, before anything else in your life, become God's person by being faithful in what you know to be faithful in. Be faithful in what you know to be faithful in right now. That's all that God requires. God's given us plenty. You and I often are the missing piece to the equation, so we have to become God's people. Remember, God's plan plus God's person multiplied by God's power equals living beyond your means. According to Zechariah 4, here's how God lets us live beyond our means, okay? In verses 1 through 5, firstly, God gives us a vision. He shows us what it's going to look like. God says to Zechariah to tell his charge Zerubbabel. Everybody say Zerubbabel. You do it every time. Zerubbabel, God has let me see specific details of the temple, and he told me that you are the one to bring it about. Zerubbabel, it's incredible. It'll be beautiful. And you're the man to do it. Now consider that when you've been staring at an unfinished and embarrassing foundation and husk of a building for 20 years, that sounds and even feels like new life, doesn't it? When we have a vision from God, we have a direction to pursue and an end game to dream about, even if we are not convinced by it all quite yet. Jesse Jackson recalls his first day in sixth grade in South Carolina. He says, I'll never forget it. My teacher was Ms. Shelton, and she began writing these really long words on the blackboard that we couldn't understand and we'd never heard of before. We all started whispering to each other. She's got the wrong class. She thinks we're in eighth grade. Somebody finally called out and said, Ms. Shelton, those are eighth grade words. We're only in sixth grade. She turned around and said, I know what grade you're in. I work here, remember? And you'll learn every one of these words and a lot more like them before the year is over. I will not teach down to you, she said. One of you little brats just may be mayor, governor, or maybe even president someday, and I'm going to make sure that you're ready. And she turned back and started writing again. Now, at that time in the 1950s in the Deep South, Jackson and the other students were dumbfounded. What? We should aim to be mayor or governor or even president? When in Greenville, there wasn't even a single African-American on the Board of Education in the police department or the fire department? We couldn't imagine it then. But she let us see the possibility first. A vision can give you direction and a purpose, no matter how big it may seem. God wants to give you his vision so you can have direction. So God gives us the vision. The next one in verse 6 is that God explains the vision, just like a teacher in a classroom. My friends, what God calls us to do, God will also resource. That is, he won't leave us alone. Have you ever had one of those nightmare jobs? Anybody ever had a nightmare job? Raise your hand if you've ever had a nightmare job. Those folks watching online, have you ever had a nightmare job? Right? Where the boss tells you what to do, but never gives you the instructions, the time, or the resources to get it done. And then when it doesn't get done, he gets angry when it isn't finished. Have you ever been in one of those situations before? I mean, Wes and Matt deal with that all the time. God's not like that. God tells the prophet to literally teach, like in a classroom, Zerubbabel, you're going to rebuild my temple where my presence will dwell. Yeah, it's been sitting there for the better part of 2 decades and nobody seems motivated right now. And even though that's true, the people will see you lead the effort and I, God, will ultimately do it through my power. God clearly says, I'll provide the resources. I'll change the people's hearts. I'll protect you from attacking armies. I'll give you the strength and the stamina and the security you need for the task. People will see your hands put it together, but I'll be doing it through you. It won't be your might and your people skills that are going to carry the day. You're a great guy, Zerubbabel, but you're not enough. It will be the power you possess through my spirit that will accomplish the task. You know, Zechariah means the Lord remembers. That is, Zechariah's name is a powerful reminder that God will never forget us or leave us. And God will never let us forget his power is all that we really ever need ultimately. Did you ever wonder why there are so many things repeated throughout the Bible? I mean, if you removed all of the repeated parts in the Bible would be less than 2/3 of its present size. Why is that? Well, because you and I often forget that God is all faithful and powerful, that he can do it. If we attempt to be his person, and God has to remind us of that an awful lot. So if you're wondering why the Bible is so long, it's your fault. Because we forget, right? We forget so much, God has to remind us. Also, when it comes to the vision the Almighty gives us, in verses 7 to 10, God assures us it'll happen. He encourages us in that truth and inspires us not to give up. Not only does God want us to be his person, not only does God provide his great power, but he encourages us in the task. That is, when we go through difficult times, God reminds us, hang in there, I'm with you, it's going to happen, nothing can stop you. How about an Ed paraphrase in verses 7 through 10? We haven't had an Ed paraphrase for a while. You can't find this anywhere else. If you're watching online, it's the only place you'll ever find it. Here's the Ed paraphrase of verses 7 to 10. What are you, big old mountain? Before my man, Zerubbabel, everybody say it, you'll become flatter than a pancake because he has the blessing of my grace. He can do anything I want him to. Zerubbabel's hands laid the foundation of this temple almost 20 years ago, and his hands are going to cut the ribbon when it opens. Everyone who's been frustrated by all the delays is going to celebrate when they see Zerubbabel holding the capstone and getting everyone back to work. God says he'll see us through whatever you and I allow him to see us through in our lives. Because God gives the vision, he gives the power, and God even gives us the encouragement and nudge we need to keep going. 4 years later, they cut the ribbon on the temple. And the vision God gave was seen by everyone. But everyone would not have seen it if Zechariah and Zerubbabel didn't want to see it first by living faithful lives in what they knew, by becoming God's persons. What could God be letting you see? I promise you, if God is letting you see it, it will be beyond what you can handle on your own. God won't give you a vision to do something you can't do, that you can do. I'll say that all over again because I completely butchered it. God won't give you a vision to do something you can do under the power of your own self. He's not going to tell you, tomorrow, go to the Wawa. You can do that yourself. You really can. Big whoop. We don't need God to give us a vision for things that we already can do. We need God to give us a vision for God-sized things. And my friends, we are in a time that needs God-sized solutions. Can you say amen to that? So what might be God letting you see? Have you been avoiding it, ignoring it, putting it off, not believing it, overwhelmed by it, distraught by it, afraid of it? So were Zechariah and Zerubbabel at first. They were human after all. In fact, in verse 4, Zechariah didn't even get it at first when God showed him. What in the world are these, Lord? But they wanted to be God's persons. And God kept at it until they got it. Folks, the big takeaway from today is this. First, try to be God's person. Try to be God's person. If you and I try to be God's person in the here and the now with what we know, if we are trying to be faithful to God in what we know right now, God will keep at it with us until we get the bigger picture as well. Take a moment to listen and look. Let God show you, because many people's lives are in the balance, people that you can influence for good. Dare to live beyond your own means, because that shows God is doing it through you. And then others can see that God is doing it through you and fall in love with the God that you already love. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you today, we are reminded of your greatness and your power. As we prepare to celebrate communion, encourage us in your word. Remind us of your power. Remind us, Lord, that as you show us your vision, we should not be afraid. We should simply be asking to be your person, to be the faithful person you created us to be, because that's who you use, those who are trying to be faithful before the task is even presented. Lord, we thank you for Zechariah's testimony. We thank you for Zerubbabel's testimony. And Lord, we may not have a temple to rebuild, but to a large degree, we have a society to rebuild. And it's more important than the temple. So allow us to be your people now. As you begin to show us God-sized visions of what you're calling us to. And remind us, Lord, when you give us the vision, you'll resource it. And you'll encourage us that it's going to happen. And for that, we'll always be grateful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is no need to open up your cups yet. And just as a reminder to avoid a mess, you want to open the bread first. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. You see, we all deserved something that we don't like to talk about much. But because of our rebellious nature, according to the law of God, we deserve to die for our sin. And as we were all figuratively lined up to receive our capital punishment, Jesus stepped in front of the line and said, Lord, I'll take their place. And so Jesus went to the cross instead of you and me. Jesus died for our sin so that we could live. And today we celebrate life because of the action of God who became a man in Jesus who died so we could live. And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Not only did Jesus pay the penalty for our sin by dying on the cross, but as you know by now, if you've been paying attention to this in this church in the last 5 years or so, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, when a sacrifice was made, there had to be the shedding of blood, because if the blood was shed in a sacrifice, that meant the group of people for whom the sacrifice was made would be forgiven. Without forgiveness, we're alive, but we're kind of in our own padded room, not really allowed to live, not allowed to have communion with God or anybody else. But because of Jesus shedding his blood as the final sacrifice on the cross, you and I are forgiven. We are renewed. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, just as we read in the scripture, every mountain that is in front of us has been leveled out. Every huge chasm has been filled in. Every wall and obstacle has been broken down. There is, my friends, nothing getting in the way of a relationship between you and God today except for one person. And who is that? Us, right? Yes, us. So today I encourage you to remember that God loved you so much, he came back to get you in the person of Jesus. He came back so that you could have new life and live a life of forgiveness. So, as I said, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body given for you. Take and eat. After supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, this is my blood of the new covenant. He shed his blood so we could be forgiven. For that we can be forever grateful. He said, take and drink. Today we remember something that has been remembered for a few thousand years. And the same love that sent God's Son into this world 2,000 years ago is the same love that he loves you with today. And for that, we can be grateful. Let's pray. Mighty God, as we come before you, remind us that without you, we are completely lost. Without you, we can't see. You give us the vision. Without you, we can't accomplish it. You give us the power. Without you, we don't know if it's ever going to happen, but you encourage us that it will. Lord, in these days, like so many days before these, people so desperately need to know you. We ask that you would make us your person so that you can use us in your task. And then others will see you use us and fall in love with the God that we've fallen in love with. And for that, we will be grateful forever in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.